Hello and welcome to this Infotech Impact Research Podcast. My name is Matt Brzezinski and I and Jennifer Colasanti will be your hosts. With a paid membership of over 20,000 worldwide, Infotech Research Group is the global leader in providing tactical, practical information technology research and analysis. This podcast is a summary overview of the Impact Research Report titled Achieving the Business Case in Virtualization. Our goal here will be to give you the highlights of this report. All Infotech Impact Research Reports are created with the case study method in mind. What this means is we provide specific examples and advice for you, our clients. Impact Research Reports address the financial implications of technology decisions, including cost savings and incremental business benefits, by providing specific actions, expected results, and identifying common pitfalls. This particular research we'll be discussing today was compiled in the fall of 2006. Let me start off by telling you our approach to impact research. We allow this process to be very fluid, and we don't constrain ourselves necessarily to any surveys. In our interviews with customers, we allow the client to delve into any particular area they feel relevant so that we can extract best practices from that. In this way, we're quite confident that we capture the gamut of relevant pieces of information. In addition, we make sure that the customers that we interview are representative of industries and organization sizes. In this discussion, we'll cover off highlights of the following areas of the report. Firstly, the benefits from virtualization, assessing fit of your organization with virtualization, common pitfalls for you to avoid, creating the business case, and creating and executing the plan. Virtualization as a concept is not novel. In fact, it's been around since the days of early mainframes. However, what we'll be focusing on today is x86 virtualization, which has now come to the forefront due to falling prices of the technology, as well as the proliferation of x86 servers. Despite being a very powerful technology, virtualization benefits are more readily realized in certain types of enterprises, and we'll define exactly what success means in a little bit. But there are two key factors that are leading indicators of greatest success, and those are the size of the enterprise and the number of servers in that enterprise. In terms of the size of the enterprise, we found that the sweet spot exists in companies of size 100 employees to 5,000. Now, I know that sounds like a wide range, but what it does exclude is companies of size 100 employees and less, and companies of 5,000 and more. That doesn't mean that these sized companies will not see benefits. They just will not see as salient a benefit as the companies in that sweet spot. And we'll discuss exactly why that is in a little bit. From a number of servers perspective, we found 15 to be the minimum, at which point virtualization begins to make sense. If we think about what virtualization really is, it's a consolidation exercise. It doesn't really affect the number of applications, but rather the number of physical boxes in use. Thus, the majority of pure cost savings are linked to reduction in physical boxes. If we look at where the business case lies, it's one, primarily in the reduction of one-time and ongoing hardware acquisition costs, and we've seen this range as high as 75%. Secondly, reduction in hardware-related maintenance costs, and really this is power savings primarily, and we've seen that as high as 50%. And then thirdly, efficiency benefits from increased manageability, the ability to manage a large number of servers from one pane. And lastly, disaster recovery and business continuity benefits, which are really enabled by removing the need for homogeneous hardware. Let's delve a little deeper. One of the first things we had to do is define what success meant in a virtualization implementation. We identified three areas. Firstly, tangible benefits, meaning that you achieved your stated business case from a financial perspective. Secondly, intangible benefits, meaning you recognized feature benefits such as management flexibility. And thirdly, strategic benefits, meaning virtualization was used as a catalyst, for example, to a migration to a utility-based infrastructure model. With this in mind, we then took a look at the organizations who did have success to determine what was common about them and how could you determine fit with your organization. And we found three areas that determine this fit. Firstly, company characteristics, and these include things like IT autonomy and the political complexity of your organization, which in many cases is linked to its size. Secondly, the IT department characteristics, which addressed issues such as materiality of power savings, and the proportion of servers considered for virtualization. And lastly, the server infrastructure itself. meaning what is the current utilization level of x86 servers being considered for virtualization. What's interesting to note here, and this goes back to our initial concept that companies that are larger than 5,000 don't see as much benefit as some of the smaller and mid-sized companies, is that although the adoption of virtualization is much greater in companies with employees of 5,000 or more, the actual penetration or the number of servers that were virtualized is quite the opposite, in that smaller companies in the range of 100 to 5,000 employees on average virtualize about two-thirds of their x86 environment when implementing virtualization, whereas the larger enterprises, although a greater proportion of them do implement virtualization, they only look at a small portion of their x86 environment, on average about 11%. So, with this being said, where do the benefits really come from? They come from three areas: cost savings, cost avoidance, and intangible benefits. In the area of cost savings, which is the probably most straightforward one, meaning spending less, you really have two areas of savings. One is decreasing your hardware acquisition costs, meaning buying and setting up fewer servers, and this can happen either during the time of server refresh or at a time when you're procuring new servers. Secondly, shrinking your footprint, so decreasing rack space and cutting back on cooling and electrical costs simply by having fewer servers. The second area is cost avoidance, and there are two key drivers here. The first is the enablement of automatic failover, which helps or improves your disaster recovery and business continuity operations, so you don't have outages or outages to the same extent. And secondly, helping the business grow faster while keeping staff constant. Virtualization does allow increased manageability and flexibility, which probably won't let you decrease your FTE headcount, but will make those individuals more effective and more efficient, and thus allowing the same number of staff to maintain a larger number of servers. And lastly are intangible benefits, and in some cases, these may be as valuable as the cost savings and cost avoidance mentioned before. These are expanded in detail in our full report, but let me mention a few salient ones here. Improved manageability and flexibility, which we mentioned before, which really means the ability to manage your entire virtual server farm from one pane of glass. Secondly, separation of hardware and software layers. Virtualization and the implementation of a hypervisor allows you to abstract hardware to such a level that the software is no longer directly dependent upon it. Of course, this may not be true in all cases. However, in the cases where it is true, what it allows you to do is change your hardware without necessarily impacting your software. So now you can perform upgrades or any other maintenance that you need to do without the need to reinstall your software. And lastly, virtualization of desktops. Although not as prevalent as the virtualization of servers, this is a new area that's being investigated and implemented by many organizations for purposes of managing security and managing the images themselves. Hopefully by now, if it hadn't already, virtualization has piqued your interest. But before moving on, let us tell you some common pitfalls and some warnings from your peers.
We found 10 key pitfalls that you could potentially run into when implementing virtualization. We'll address two of them here. Firstly, be wary of including FTE headcount reduction as part of your business case. Although you will most likely find improved efficiency in maintenance staff, this is rarely sufficient to remove resources altogether since, in most cases, the system administrators perform other roles in the IT department. And secondly, quell your expectations of huge consolidation. Consolidation ratios mentioned by the vendors differ from actual client experiences. Vendor reports have suggested as many as 12 virtual machines per processor on the host server, whereas 6 is more often the reality. Although still high, be realistic about your expectations.
At this point, you're ready to start thinking about your business case. Make sure, however, that it's based on hard cost savings, much like the ones we talked about earlier. Avoid trying to quantify some of the intangible benefits or cost avoidance items unless they're relevant. Otherwise, you may confuse the issue of what cost savings really exist. At this stage, it's more important to be complete than accurate. It's perfectly acceptable to have a tolerance of plus or minus 25% in your initial business case, as long as you've included all of your cost savings areas and all of your cost areas, both one-time and ongoing. And this will include purchase of your host machine hardware, the virtualization software, purchasing of a SAN if required, staff training and consultancy costs if those happen to be applicable, and then from an ongoing perspective, virtualization software maintenance, any staff training, or salary increases due to the in-demand skills of your now virtualization-trained staff. In our research process, once we had understood where the benefits are and of what magnitude they are, and what types of companies experience greatest success, we moved on to understanding the best practices of how to implement virtualization.
We have established 12 critical planning steps for your virtualization implementation based on successful cross-industry implementations. The first step is to determine your implementation approach, which is influenced by company size and project characteristics. Small and mid-sized companies are more likely to execute their projects as an IT-only initiative, whereas larger organizations will have to be more transparent. Step 2 involves developing your business case. Ensure that you base it on the tangible savings and results we mentioned before: hardware acquisition, power, and facility savings. Once the business case is developed, your next step is to gain organizational buy-in. Overcome initial misconceptions about the technology through education. Depending on your implementation approach, deep buy-in may not be required, especially if the implementation is being run as an internal IT project. You may need to consider a proof of concept here. Step 4 is capacity planning. This is a critical step in the process. Consider fluctuations in utilization of your target servers and your desired performance. We found that four-way servers provide the best value to host the virtual machines for high consolidation ratios. The next step is making your hardware selection. Infotech believes that blade servers are complementary to virtualization software, are a viable choice, and should be considered for your implementation, alongside multiprocessor systems. Software selection is step 6. Consider VMware, Microsoft, Zen, SWSoft, and others. The next 6 steps help guide you through the virtualization implementation. First, determine the type of training or external assistance you will need. Staffing mix and training are strongly correlated to the size of company, not necessarily the size of the implementation, with larger companies often using consultants. Next, you must determine which applications you are going to migrate first. Migrate low utilization applications first when the project is an internal IT initiative and your goal is to minimize risk. Step 9 involves 2 types of testing: stability and performance testing. Both are critical to the success of your implementation. We believe that virtualization is a consolidation exercise, and centralization of servers is key to achieving favorable consolidation ratios. This should be your next step. We recommend purchasing a SAN if you don't already have one. Next, you will perform the migration itself, which will take the same or less time to complete as the testing step did. Finally, once the implementation is complete, consider the broader implications. Virtualization is a culture shift towards a type of utility computing, so concepts like chargebacks lend themselves well. And don't forget, like all technologies, ongoing performance and capacity monitoring and tweaking are all necessary.
And that brings us to the conclusion of this podcast. We hope you have found it useful. As mentioned before, this was a summary of the highlights of a larger report that is available at www.infotech.com. The full report also includes an analysis tool, which will help you decide how to implement virtualization, whether you should implement virtualization, and what kind of risks can you expect in your particular situation. On behalf of our team here, thank you very much for listening.